God picked him. Of all the different people, Abraham is picked to be the first Hebrew, the first Jew, if you would. And out of him comes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel. Now, having said that little bit, they didn't have any faith. And we want to pick up the lesson in all of this, Galatians chapter 3 again. And remember now, Abraham is picked to be the example. And you'll recall Galatians chapter 3, and picking up, if I may, in verse 5, 3 and 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, how would people ever get saved? By faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And God made a wonderful commitment by way of Abraham. And Abraham is to be the example. That did anyone help you? Does anyone give you super or anything? No. You're going to have to look to God outside of and apart from everyone, everywhere, in any way. You're going to have to give God total credit for being who he is. And you're going to have to trust him. You trust his word and his person. That's what you do. Chapter 3 of Galatians, picking up in verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God, how? By faith, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized, placed into, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, to believe God and what? It will be counted to you for righteousness. Believe God, and it will be counted to you for righteousness. Where do we get righteousness? From God. How are we going to do? We're going to believe him. Now, having said that little bit, and then we share together in the light of all of that, over, if you would please, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54. Not only did the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, they certainly should have known that they had to go and look to God and believe God by faith, which they did not do. They should have, but they didn't. They just didn't do it. And now, in the process, the second thing we shared together that was of key importance was to understand that they knew David. All of these kings are in the line of David, all the way down the line. So if any king, if anybody should have known, their grandfather, great-grandfather, father, David, they should have understood. And God holds them accountable to understand David. Why? Because David is counted not on the faith part, that's Abraham. David is counted on the mercy part. Remember David? David lined his heart up with God in 1 Samuel 13. As a boy, he lined his heart up with God and got off the elevator, as it were, the elevator opened, and there's God, and here's David on the same level. And David was a man after God's own heart. According, God had to be the standard for David. He had that. Not only that, but David verified and vindicated, if that was needed, God, God's choosing him. Because David, of all different ones, David wanted God to have the temple, the tabernacle, the temple. He wanted God to have his place in Jerusalem, which is his God's will for all of human history. And David wanted that. He wanted that. He wanted God not to be in a tent or a tabernacle. He wasn't in a tent at David's day. He doesn't want God. You need to be where you belong, in the center, Jerusalem, in a temple. And David wanted to build them a house. That's what David wanted. Now, David, does anyone else care? Not that we know of. But God, you honored David. I did. David wanted what I wanted. He wanted it because he understood who I was, said God. And he looked to me. That's why he could kill a lion and a bear and Goliath and anything else. Now, if you would, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 54 for time. Isaiah 54. May I pick up, please, in verse 7. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies, remember mercy, think of the word mercy, without getting into all of that at this point. Just think of everything surrounding you in your world, everything surrounding you, and God takes everything and anything and surrounds you with it and uses it all to circle you. He encircles you and brings all of the pieces together to make it work. Mercy. Mercy. Wow. Now, so here, verse 7. A small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercy I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with exceeding kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. 4, verse 9, this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. So God, Jerusalem, here's Isaiah looking and ahead 100 years here. They could have read this over and over, but they didn't. Over, if you would, chapter 55, right next door. Isaiah chapter 55. And you'll note, please, in verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, God, that's what you did. That's right. The sure mercies of David. You can count on it. David could count on it. I counted on David, and David was worthy of being trusted to do what he was supposed to do. And David, yet you honor David. How did you honor David? In your wonderful mercy. Here's all the kings of David. Are any of you guys interested in the mercy of David? Nope. Over for you at Isaiah 63. Isaiah chapter 63. And you will note, if I can, in verse 7, directly, I will mention thy loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according, this is the remnant now, this is the prayer of the remnant, the believers, not the unsaved, which he hath bestowed on them according, the end of verse 7, according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Now God, you're going to, all they had to do is read Isaiah. And they would have known. But they don't read Isaiah. They don't pay attention to Isaiah. Now, so therefore, over if you would please, oh, for time for that. If you would, over to Luke and the Gospel of Luke. Now remember, we're going to look at, it would not take time to do it, but if you looked at Nehemiah and Ezra, what were they going to do? They're looking, Ezra and then Nehemiah. What are you guys doing if you read them, chapter 9? We're looking for God's mercy. There's only one way we're going to be able to hang in here, in there, and that's your mercy. So now, Luke chapter 18, giving it a little more fullness and quickly. Luke chapter 18, remember the prayer, verse 10. The two men went up, a publican in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto the certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican, tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, at a distance, would not lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Way off. Publicans right in there, the Pharisee, publicans back here, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you want to take that and get the inside of that, God, be a mercy seat to me. God, be a mercy seat to me. What about the mercy seat? That's where the Ten Commandments are, etc. And that's the law of God. And how can anyone ever get to the righteousness of God? By faith. And God, what are you going to do to get there? How are we going to ever get there by faith? You're going to have mercy. What is on top of the Ark of the Covenant? A mercy seat, solid gold with two cherubim, gold, looking down. And so whenever you see the Ark of the Covenant, you always see on top of it the mercy seat. You always see it. Wow. So God, be to me a mercy seat, God, of thy faith. But faith can't get me righteous. Apart from what? Apart from your mercy. That's why there's mercy seat. God, be a mercy seat to me. Wow. So now, having said that a little bit and having that a little in your mind, go with me, please, over to Jeremiah and chapter 22. Jeremiah and chapter 22. And if I may, pick up in thought, remember all three kings are going to be mentioned, Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin and Zedekiah. And in the process, they all line up. They're all evil kings, all of the tribe of the line of David, all of them are there. And we did them. And Jeremiah is helping us understand why does Nebuchadnezzar end up leveling Jerusalem and the temple? Because the kings never got right. Each thing got worse and worse. They never fixed anything. So here's the kings lined up, and we're going all the way over now to chapter 22, and picking up, if I can, in verse 24. Now here's the third king. And verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, Jehoiachin, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, his son, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee off, hence, I'd tear you off, literally. I'd tear you off. Now remember, the signet ring is the ring that kings wore. Dignitary, power people had them. And in order to authorize and legalize, they had the ring. And the ring was a stamp. They'd stamp and seal the letter, seal the document with their ring, a signet ring, giving authority, having authority and power. Wow. God said, if Jehoiakim, if he was a ring on my hand, I would rip it off. That's what you think. I'd rip it off, he said, if he was a ring on my hand, a valuable possession. But he was never valuable. He is the opposite of being valuable. Therefore, verse 25, and I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother, and that bear thee, into another country where you were not born, and there you shall die there. Now you're going to die there. And verse 27. But to the land whereunto thou desirest to return, Israel, thither thou shalt not return. You're never, never, never going to go back. Hang on to this. You're never, never, never going back to Jerusalem. Verse 27. These are three affirmative questions. Is, verse 28, is the man Coniah a despised broken idol? Yes, he's a broken idol. You throw him away. He's despised. Rip the ring off my finger. Secondly, is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Yes, he is no pleasure to me whatsoever. Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into the land which they know not? Now, having said that, then, God, what are you going to say? I want you to know, everyone be witness. Now, how are you going to say that? Remember, he says, heaven and earth are going to witness everything I do. All of creation witnesses it. When the Lord entered Jerusalem to be crucified in that last week, the stones remember and would cry out. If you didn't make a noise, the stones will. Do you understand? Everything is looking and honoring who I am, except humans. Therefore, verse 29, O earth, 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 land, 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 land. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I want the whole world to witness what I'm going to do. I want everyone in all creation, angels, good guys and bad guys, pay attention to what I'm going to do. Now, having said that a little bit, we need to just a little more background. Over, if you would please, to 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings, if I can, in chapter 24. 2 Kings and 24. Picking up, please, in verse 8. Jehoiachin, that's the guy, same guy. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. That's all, 3 months, no more. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. That's what he did. He did evil, evil, evil. Now, he only reigned 3 months. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, took him out. Interesting. Over to chapter 25. He took him out. And remember, God has said, I predict he will not stay. He'll never see the land of Israel again. Now, what are you going to do, God? I'm going to take him and have him taken captive. Zedekiah, the last king, Nebuchadnezzar is going to have his eyes plucked out after he sees his sons killed and his eyes plucked out and killed. But not this guy. Not this guy. No, this guy is going to be taken captive according to God's wonderful working. And in chapter 25, going directly, if I can, to verse 27. And it came to pass in the 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. So after he's been in prison 37 years. Now you need to have that. Zedekiah is the last king. He's only going to be 11 years. So here's Jehoiachin, 3 months. Next one comes along, Zedekiah, his uncle, comes along. And Zedekiah lasts 11 years. But Jehoiachin is going to be in Babylon for 36 plus years. And after that, the king, the Babylonian king, is going to let him out and have freedom after being in prison that long, and is going to be able to take care of, he's going to take care of him, where? In Babylon. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, pick up the idea of it, to Jeremiah. Over to Jeremiah, chapter 52. Just in case we don't get there. Jeremiah, chapter 52. And if I may, in verse 31. And it came to pass, this is the end of the book of Jeremiah. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity, Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month of the 20th day of the month, of that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his position per prison garments. And he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continued diet given to him of the king of Babylon every day, a portion unto the day of his death, all the days of his life. He's going to the rest of his life, he's going to die in Babylon. That's right. That's what's going to happen. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, pick up back over to Jeremiah 22. And in Jeremiah chapter 22, you would recall. Now remember, Jehoiachin, C-H-I-N, goes into captivity, not 605, 597. Cities destroyed, all destroyed in later, 586. But when Jehoiachin is taken captive, and he's going to spend 36 years plus over in Babylon, you want to remember Ezekiel is taken at the same time, and Mordecai is going to be taken at the same time. They're all taken at the same time, 597, into Babylon. Now, having said that, over, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 22. Now, having disposed, looking to God. So here we are looking, in verse 30. Thus saith the Lord. Remember now, he says, earth, 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 all forever, witness what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? That's so awesome. Verse 30. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed, he's going to have children, but, hang on, for no man of his seed, children, shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Now, he has reigned 3 months. Zedekiah comes along 11 years, and he dies. Nebuchadnezzar eliminates him. But Jehoiachin is in Babylon. He is the living king, the last living king. Zedekiah is killed. He was sitting on the throne. But Jehoiachin was still a king. He just wasn't in Israel. He's still a king. And he'll never have any more kings on the throne. He's in the line of David. No more kings. It's all over. Solomon, it's all over. No more. No more. Ended. He's the last king living. There'll be no more kings. He has a son, Zerubbabel, etc. It's going to be, not a son, but a relative, a grandson, or whatever, whatever. And in the process, he's going to go and be the governor, etc., in days of Ezra and Nehemiah. But he's never a king. There are no more kings. No. Nope, not at all. Now, God, you made a wonderful promise to David. I did. I told him that always there would be a line in the line of David to sit on the throne. I told him that, so everyone knows. But here's Solomon, and no more kings. No more. Now, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to the Gospel of Matthew, as you would guess. The Gospel of Matthew. And in chapter 1. Now, if you were going to go and follow the line of humans, then here's Jehoiachin, and here's his sons, and you follow it all the way down the line, and you're going to come to what? You're going to come, when you follow it down, to a person named Joseph. Joseph. That's who you're going to come to. Now, is Joseph? Joseph is in the line of David, but he's not a king. There are no kings. But Joseph is in the line of David. Legally, he's a legal person of David. No question. And thus, Matthew chapter 1, and picking up, you'll catch the idea. Verse 12. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jehoiachin, begat Shalathiel, and Shalathiel begat Zerubbabel. Now, we just mentioned them. Now, and here you got a little line, you're going to follow it down, a time, genealogy, and where are you going to end up? You're going to end up with verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, having said that with Joseph, so Joseph, we got that part, but God, you never miss a trick. Never, never, never. Nope. David, what did you have? Well, I had a Solomon, a son, and he was to sit and build the temple and did all of this, but it didn't come out good. And in 1 Kings, well, we have to leave it for a second. 1 Kings, and in chapter 9, and you will note quickly in the process, Here's Solomon building the temple and all of that. And the words to him, if I go verse 4, "If thou wilt walk before me as David thy father, walk in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and I will keep my statutes and my judgments. Then I will establish thy throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David. See, Solomon had the promise, but he wasn't going to hang in there. Verse 5. "And I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel." That's a promise. That's right. And now you had to follow, and verse 6, "But if you shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel from out of the land which I have given them," etc., etc. And if you keep reading, that's why he's going to go, and the people are going to say, verse 8, it levels the city. Verse 9, the world's going to say, why? Why? And they already know why. We shared all this together in this Jeremiah. They already know. The world knows when God's doing something. And we all humans get in trouble. But when Israel, that's supposed to know God, there's only one person to blame. Idols, religion, philosophy, root. No, that's never a problem. But God is a problem. And Israel, if they look to God, therefore, no one messes with God. The world knows that. The world knows it. So therefore, Israel, the world understands the reason Israel is judged is because of God. Because of their unbelief. Their relationship to God has been violated. Now, having said that little bit, over here at chapter 11 quickly. And you'll remember now, if I can, chapter 11. And picking up, in verse 4. "And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." He wasn't like it. Verse 6. "Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father." And now, Solomon, you're going to go. And that's why the kingdom's going to be divided. All of that's going to happen. And so, Solomon, you're going to end up, Jehoiachin is going to be the last king of the line of Solomon and the last one. But David has a son, Nathan, and Nathan is going to be the line all the way down, Luke chapter 3, all the way down. Go over there quickly. Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, may I pick up, please? You have Nathan, verse 31. You have Nathan, which was the son of David, sliding down. And you're going to go all the way down now, all the way to Jesse and Obed, going backwards. And you're going to end up where? Where are you going to end up? If you follow all of it backwards, you're going to end up, verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Perfect, legally, Solomon. Mary, is David going to be legally? Absolutely. Is he going to be officially, by way of Nathan, by Mary, by birth? Officially, he is the son of David. Why is that important? Because that's how the whole thing is working out. David, remember we shared it together the other time or two ago. Remember the blind man and the others cry out when they see and hear the Lord Jesus is coming by? And what do they know? They're blind people. They're just sitting there. Can't do anything. They know this. God be merciful to me, thou son of David. Be what? Merciful. Because you promised to 1,000 generations that you'd be merciful. Wow. So we're counting on it. We did all that together. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would. So God, here we are looking. And in the process, everything comes down to an end. And God, what are you saying? Well, I want you to know that everything started out, but sin came along, and there was no way it was ever going to get fixed. Humans cannot exclude, remove, be without God. And history is going to demonstrate that awesome truth. Without God, nothing's going to work. God is the only God and the only Savior and the only Creator. And so, God, we've got to look to you with all our heart. That's correct. Now, having said that, over, if you would, please, Revelation chapter 5. Remember, everything has an end. All going to come. All going to come to an end. Your life is going to come to an end. You have already used up so many minutes of your life, haven't you? Haven't you? Once your heart started beating, you had a little record that said on your birth certificate, 100,000 beats. And you had a little break. And then you start counting. And you're counting and you're counting and you're counting. You don't have more minutes. You have less minutes. By the end of the week, you're going to have less than you start with right now. It's the way it is. And nothing's going to make it. It isn't meant to. It isn't meant to. It can't make it without God. You can't do it without God. Now, so here's Revelation, God. Now, hanging on, God, are you going to put this together? That's right. And remember now, you got to remember now, I'm going to go, said God, well, I'll do this first, chapter 5, verse 5, here's the scroll, here's the five books of a seven-sealed scroll, and picking up, if I can, chapter 5, verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, that's the Lord, to the believer, weep not, the believer, John, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. Now God, who on earth, when you're all done, God said, listen, the kings of Israel end, but they don't end, because I'm the king, said the Lord. I am King of kings. No one. It doesn't end. Everything ends, but no, it doesn't end. You don't even end. You don't end. Everything's going to end. Everything's going to end in your life. It's the way it is. The whole world is just going downhill, even though with all of its modernization and etc. Now, so God, you're going to go and put all the pieces together. Revelation chapter 6 to the end. That's right. Now, chapter 22. And in chapter 22, as you remember, chapter 22, picking up in thought, if I may, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, giving his own testimony, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you what? These things in where the churches, that's where I was sitting to learn, to understand. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. Everything comes to the end except me. Think of Revelation chapter 1. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I started and I finish it. Wow. So here we are trying to make everything go, make it last. No, what I want to do, I want to understand, God, what am I going to count on? I don't want to count on the clock. I don't want to count on the physical metabolism and everything else. No, I want to count on you, God. That's what the Thessalonians are doing. They got wonderfully saved and exercised an awesome faith in God. And they were waiting. Right now, they were doing all their work, homeschool and persecution, pressure, all those different things were there, but they were waiting for a son out from heaven. That's what they're waiting for. Now, God, what do we know? That you are the brighter morning star. And therefore, what are we going to say? Verse 17, and the Spirit of God, and the bride, that's the believing heart, say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come. And you're going to end up, God, you're going to say it. That's right. Verse 20, he that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come. So God, that's right. Now, look at chapter 21. God, everything's going to disappear. So don't try to hang on to anything too tightly. And don't understand that all the systems work, but they don't work. And they don't go uphill, they go downhill. That's because God is left out. That's the way it is. So therefore, Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I'm going to make everything new. The end is going to come to everything. And I'm going to make it all new. And by the way, that's wonderful. Oh, more wonderful. We can't wait. I got to wait till the tribulation finishes. Boy, no. No. When you receive me as your Savior, you reckon yourself dead. What is your solution, God? Death. I don't want to play with it. Well, let's talk about my problems. I don't want to talk about your problems. I crucified it. Well, shouldn't we analyze it? No, you don't need to analyze anything. We didn't thank God. He isn't counting on it. He isn't counting on your wisdom, your intellect, your IQ, or anything. He's counting on himself. And that's what you are supposed to do, to count on God. And then you live through the thing. We aren't trying to make it work. Who knows how long it's going to work? No, it's all going downhill. So God, you're going to make a new heavens and new earth? No. God, for us here and now, that's so far away, it seems wonderful, but far away. Behold, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If therefore, if any man or woman, boy or girl, be located where? In Christ Jesus, all things have passed away, and everything has become what? New. How long did you have to wait to start newness? 1 second. You've got to switch gears. From here I am trying to make it all last, and it isn't going to last. So God, I got to look to you. And when I look to you, it's all new. I don't have to wait for one more day. I don't have to wait till tomorrow morning. God, you've covered it. You took me to the cross. Israel is going to go downhill and end. That's right. In its earthly system. God, what did you do? You created us humans, and we're all doomed to die. We were born dead in sin, and we're dying and dead already. God, so what did you do? I gave you a newness of life so that you could reckon yourself dead and understand the wonderful, wonderful thing I've done. I've made you new. What's going to die for you? You have what kind of life? eternal life. What did the Lord Jesus say? I am the resurrection and life. Do you understand you'll never what? You'll never die. Do you understand that? You're going to die, but you'll never die. The end isn't the end. So everything you look at in the world, well, it's going to come to the end, things aren't going well. Well, I'm not looking for them to get better in that sense. That doesn't mean you do the best you can for whatever. But we aren't counting on it. No, God, because all of it is condemned and isn't going to make it. Nothing's going to make it. My body isn't going to make it. No. No, it's not going to make it. But God, our relationship to you, like David, mercy, like Abraham, believed you for righteousness. God, that is what I have. That's what you have. A newness of life. And Israel, going to come to an end as far as the kings go. And the reason it's going to make it is because the King of Israel is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's going to make it. That's why it's going to make it. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and God, we just need to understand that you allow all of this to take place. You didn't mean any of it to last, because you already condemned it before anything was ever created. So therefore, God, we aren't getting too excited about anything happening or not happening. It's the way it is. We aren't counting on it. We're counting on what? Our relationship to you that is new. Until you make everything new. So God, we enjoy a unique personal relationship. And we can never be altered. It can never die. As long as you exist, God, our life is set in thee forever. It never dies. It can never die. Ever, ever, ever. And that's why you can keep going. That's why Wally and all of the different ones, when you talk to them, that's what they're doing. You're counting on that. You're not trying to body. Yeah, your body may or may not. But, boy, we're looking to God. We are not trying to keep this, and you aren't trying to keep that. No, God, you're doing a wonderful thing until you translate us and transplant us, literally, fully, into the kingdom of your dear Son. So, God, we're looking to you as we get down the corridor of time, and we're going to learn from Israel, because they're going to go into captivity, and here's Israel over there now. Wow. Until you do your work, which you're doing. Wow. So, God, we're looking to you. So, God, thank you. Thank you. Think of it, all Romans 6, 4 and 5. And we're to walk in what? Newness of life, isn't it? What are we supposed to do? Live in newness of life. That's what we're supposed to do. Newness, new, not old, new. So we have new. Everything is going to disappear, but that can't disappear. My relationship to God can't disappear at all. Wow.